Subject, our title of our message today is To Know Him is to Love Him Forever. Will, say that to somebody. To know Him is to love Him forever. Say it. To know Him is to... But do you know Him? But do you know Him? Do you know Him? Let me tell Him. Let me tell a little bit who He is. He's your advocate. Jesus is Almighty God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Anointed One. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the beginning and the end. He's the beloved Son of God. To know Him is to love Him forever. Do you know Him? He's blessed of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the bright and morning star, the captain of our salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chosen of God. He's the Christ child, Christ the Lamb, the comforter, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, the creator of all things. He's the deliverer, the door of the sheep. He's Emmanuel, the end of the law. He's endless. He's eternal God. He's everlasting Father. He's our example. He's faithful and true. I wonder, do you know him? He's the finisher of our faith. He's the first and the last. He's the firstborn. He's the first fruits. He's the forerunner. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's the God of Israel. He's your my God. He's your God and He's my God. Is that right? He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. He's the healer. He's the heir of all things. He's the holy child. He's the holy Messiah. He's the holy one. He's the great I am. He's the image of God, Emmanuel. He's Jesus Christ. He's Jesus of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. He's judge of the living and the dead. He's the just one. He's the King of Israel, the King of Kings, King of the Jews, the Lamb of God, the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. To know Him is to love Him. Do you know Him? He's the living bread. He's the living stone. He's the living water. He's the Lord from heaven. He's Lord God Almighty. He's the Lord God of hosts. I could go on here because I have pages of this. I'll jump here. He's the sacrifice. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Because He's the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's the seed of Abraham. He's the seed of David. He's the seed of the woman. He's the servant of Jehovah. He's the servant of the Lord. He's the shepherd. He's the son. He's the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man. He's the son of Mary. He's the son of righteousness. He's the son of the eternal Father. He's the son of the everlasting God. He's the son of the living God, son of the God most high. He's the spiritual rock, the stem of Jesse, the teacher. Come from God, the true vine, the truth, the unchangeable one, the way, the wisdom of God, the wonder, the word of God, the word, and He's worthy. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord. To know you is to love you forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, when you come into the family of God, you have a new Father. One who loves you unconditionally because your sins and your failures have been paid for by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. He had a sacrificial payment for your sins. And there's a change that happens in the soul when it's cleansed from sin and the weight of shame is lifted off. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." Everybody happy about that? You didn't receive that spirit. You received another spirit entirely. You received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry. Everybody say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You have received a different spirit. You have received a different spirit. If you know Him, there's a different spirit that's come in you and it changes you. If you're living the same old life, you don't know Him yet. You can say, forgive me and do a little prayer and not have a changed life. And there's a lot of that going on today. Living in the same old problems and same old activities that did before. That's just lip service. That's not a transformed life. Look at this. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Now that's just enough right there. But then there's this hope in God's heart. And this hope in His heart is that we might. Somebody would say, that you might. That you might die to sin. Let's say it again, that you might die to sin. How many have found dying to sin is just one booger? It's a booger. But Jesus put all of His sins, this is coming to my mind over and over, I just want to say, what if there's a man and he's standing trial for murdering a child, okay? And yet he gets before the judge and he's gone to church all his life. He's given to United Way. Did a lot of good things for a lot of people. And the judge goes, you know, because of your good works, we're going to let you go free. And everybody in the room would go, what? And that's how people think about God. They think, well, my good works, I've done enough good things for enough people. And you have no idea the sin has to be paid for. It's got to be paid for. It's not just, he don't just do it because he feels like it. He does it because Jesus was the sacrifice for it. And because of justice and the wrath of God poured out on Jesus on the cross, because of that, and that alone, now mercy comes to you, mercy comes to me, because your debt has been paid for. And now the Lord invites you, says, you know, I love you so much, I love you with an everlasting love. And it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And then He puts this on here. Says, are you having a struggle because of past hurts? Well, let me just go ahead and tell you, by His wounds, you're healed. And everything that has affected you adversely, He says, I got you covered there too. I not only take away this passion and drive because of addictions or all kinds of things, whatever you've done, how many of you have done something to hurt yourself doing it? And you're just like, man, I wish I wouldn't keep stepping into this thing. Is that right? He says, I'm going to heal you. It's a process. It's a process. So what motivates a person to die to sin and live to righteousness? I got some quotes. These are anonymous quotes, but I want to put them up. Too many Christians want a manageable, domesticated Jesus who makes no demands on their time, money, words, social life, or sexuality. In the midst of this great and growing deception, God is looking for uncompromising believers who proclaim the truth of the gospel and not the counterfeit Jesus of Western culture. Next one, when we see Jesus as He is, glorious and worthy of our deepest loyalties and affections, deserving of our total focus and supreme attention, we will catch fire and burn with a holy fear and a holy hunger. The Word will grip our hearts and we will proclaim Him as He is. Everybody say, praise the Lord. It's knowing the Lord today in these last days. He is the Lord of all. He is key to your salvation. He is your salvation. You can't just put Him on the little, you have a bunch of idols, you know, and say, I got my Jesus idol. No, you just knock all the other idols off the stand. In fact, He's before all that. So there's a little key, though, that you learn. Jesus expressed this key when the lady came in and wept at His feet. And He said to Simon, it was a little discussion, not Simon Peter, but Simon this Pharisee. And this was the key. He who is forgiven much, loves much. If you've been deeply bound in sin and you can't get out on your own, and that was me, I couldn't get out. Locked in the prison, couldn't get out. Desires run amok. How can I stop doing this? I hate it, but I can't stop. That's where Jesus steps in. And he alters the heart. And he gives you a hope. And he says, now take a step. And you try to take a step and you fumble. And you find out, I can't do this without you, Jesus. He says, I know. Because I'm the vine. And you're the branch. And you can't do anything without me. And you find that the wickedness of your sin causes you to have a bond with God. And you find out, I need you more than I ever knew I would need you. And you realize, he who has forgiven much loves much. And just when you get enough arrogance in your snoot to think you can do it again all on your own, you fall right down in the same old pit. Thinking, I can do this now without him. And next thing you know, you're just all up in it again. Your shoes are all dirty and your hands are all dirty and your heart's all dirty. Your mind's all dirty. And you're coming back to Jesus going, I messed up. And that's called repentance, confession. And you say, I need your help again. Is that right? Let's praise the Lord just for a minute. He's so good to us. He is so good to us. Paul was one of those that just really found, you know, here Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. And before, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, you couldn't get more religiously prickly than that. He was so confoundedly religious that he was killing people who put their faith in Jesus. And Jesus came and spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And he was struck blind and he fell down on the ground. For 3 days he was blind. He had these scales over his eyes. And God sent a fellow named Ananias to pray for him. And he prayed and the scales came off. And the Lord spoke to him that you're going to suffer many things in taking this gospel of mine to the Gentiles. And Paul fell in love. He went head over heels. The Bible says in Philippians 3:7, it says, whatever I had gained, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, look at this heart. Look at this heart. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let's read that. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He goes on and says, For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that, next one, I may gain Christ and be found in him. Is this how you feel about Jesus? This today is to refresh you in your spirit, to renew you in your mind, and restore the pathway of your walk with him, to be passionate about the person of Jesus Christ. This is what today is about. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. And he says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And then he says, that I may know him. Tell somebody next to you that I may know him. I may know him. The essence of salvation is not saying a prayer. It's knowing somebody. It's knowing the Lord Jesus. It's having a personal relationship with Father God through Jesus. So Jesus, I want you to come and meet my dad. He's your dad now. You can call him Abba Father. I cried out to Abba in the garden when I was praying. I said, this cup passed through me, away from me. But I said, no, nevertheless, thy will be done. And I said, Abba, Abba, Abba. And he gave me the strength after that prayer. And an angel came and he encouraged me. And I went through with the cross to take away your sins so you could know him. And you can now have if you had a bad earthly dad, guess what? Jesus says, I have some good news for you. I got a perfect father who loves you so perfectly. And he's going to do all that you couldn't do for your life. He will take you and disciple you and raise you up as a son and a daughter in his spirit and his presence. You just listen, because the Holy Spirit's going to come along and shape all that and teach you stuff that you never knew. And he's going to challenge you to grow up and become mature in Christ Jesus. To be mature in Christ Jesus means you're no longer always the part of the problem. It means now you're part of the solution. Somebody comes in and messes everything up, and you go ahead and clean it all up. There's a mama in the house. There's a daddy in the house. There's somebody mature. Is that right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. How many of you have been the ones that mess up the house? And then he says, to know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I attain the... No, back. The bottom line of the one. I attain the resurrection from the dead. That's the goal, guys. That's the goal. How many want to go to heaven? You say, not right now. You know, but... Right. No, we don't have a bus outside with tickets. No, we don't... I might just like to go and come back. I don't want to miss you, honey, but I tell you, I love Jesus. And so now he declares this, that I might know him, gain him, be found in him, attain the resurrection. And then he says this, next verse, not that I have already attained this, or am already perfect. By the way, the word perfect there is teleos. It means mature or complete. But look at this, I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. The next verse, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, now let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So I'm going to ask you, what is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? Are you ready? Here's the prize. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. That I may know him. You see, in Jesus Christ, there's not another destination other than him. He's your destination. He says, don't even worry about tomorrow. It has enough of its own stuff. We're not talking about running off in the future full of landmines. We're talking about making the most of every day with me, he says. Enjoying me, knowing me. Walking through life with, throw a party for Jesus today in your heart. Live it up today. 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 Walk with Jesus today. Don't be consumed with the past. Don't be consumed with the future. Live your life with Jesus today. He already knows all the days. He's put the numbers of your days in a book. He already knows where you're going. You just plug into Jesus himself. Somebody's getting some help here today. In fact, it's like an anointing to just cause things to drop off. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord and receive that. Receive that. Receive that. He's going, I'm just cleansing your mind with the truth. He said, I washed you. I sanctified you with the truth. And the truth is saying, I'm washing away what has happened in your past. And your past is not going to rule. What happened in your past is not going to dictate your future anymore. It's not going to do it. You just turn to Jesus. There may be a process to walk out of that. But God has a future and a hope in him. In Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up in knowing the person of Jesus Christ. And when you know the person of Jesus Christ, you stand differently. You talk differently. You rise up differently. You have a melody in your heart. You sing praises to God. You give thanks. You are different than what you used to be. You are changed. You are changed. You are changed. He transforms you. You become new in Christ. Come on, everybody, say he's good. Just go ahead and high five somebody and say, God's better than grandma's jelly jar. The deeper you go, the gooder it gets. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Could it be when the real Jesus is presented in the true light of the scriptures, the average human with the average human heart would irresistibly be drawn to him. Is that true? Now, we know that Jesus draws people. So I don't think there's too much after that. No, it's good. I think we're is there anything left after that? I don't think so. Good, good. So we're not going to just put up a clean slate up there. So don't let the consideration of the things that went wrong in the past cancel out the vision who you are becoming in Jesus Christ. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Don't consider that because something did not work out right before the way you thought it would, that you should not press forward in the things of God for you now. And don't allow personal failure, attacks from others, repetitive oppressive thoughts, or negative words repeated by others against you to discolor the vivid vision that God is calling you into. I know you've had ups and downs. I've had ups and downs. You've had some ebbs and flows, and you've had some setbacks. But I want you to remember that your setbacks are setups for a new season. They are. They are. Now, a long time ago, Joshua was commanded by Jesus, the Lord of the host, to take down Jericho with the children of Israel. I'm going to do this story real quick because it's not the whole story, it's just the pieces of it I want us to get. Well, what happened is they went out in battle and there was a commandment given from the Lord to Joshua and all the people. And the commandment was, but you keep yourselves from those things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing of destruction and bring trouble upon it. And then he clarifies and he says this, but all the silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord. Now the Lord is operating here on the first fruits principle, because Jericho was the first city. This is the only one he had this commandment with. He didn't have this commandment with any of the other cities. This was stepping into the promised land. This was the tithe. This was the tithe of all the things that were coming. I want you to give everything from Jericho into the treasury of the Lord. Everything. That sounds pretty good. Knowing that everything is coming. Of course, you know the story because the story goes on and on and on. How about the priests? You know, they go around the city seven times and the priests blow the trumpets and stuff. And finally, the seventh day, they go around six times. And then they go around one more time, the seventh time. And they shout and the walls come down. And then they have this great celebration. And then they have another challenge. And it's a little fight they're going to do over here. And And it's the city of Ai, and they said, well, let's just go over there. There's not that many people over there. Let's just go ahead and take 3,000 soldiers, and it'll be a piece of cake. And the inhabitants of Ai whip their hinies and kill 36 people. And the blessing of the Lord is not upon it. Why? Because there was... So God says, Joshua's just completely distraught. He doesn't know what's happened. Oh my God, this is bad news. And he falls down before the Lord. Oh my God, what's going on? He says, somebody didn't do right. I'm angry because somebody didn't honor what I said. Well, how many of you have done stuff? How many have been around? How many suffered for people who've done stuff? This is one of those situations. This is a corporate family problem. So he says, what I want you to do is I'm going to bring the 12 tribes, and then from the 12 tribes, I'll pick out one of the tribes, and then we'll go through the clans, and we'll pick out the clans, and we'll go through each household, and I'll identify what's going on here. And there was a man named Achan, and he said, Achan finally stands before Joshua and says, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. Now this is the bad news. This is the bad part. So they sent the messengers and they got the gold and the silver there. And then this is horrible, but what had to happen is punishment. And so they took Achan and his family, and they took him out to the Valley of Achor, and they were stoned to death, and then they were burned. And Achor means trouble, and it's the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. Why have you caused this trouble? This was a big deal. And now you caused us to already lose 36 people. And this is one of those horrid memories. This is a painful thing. And each person here, maybe not like that, but there's probably within this group unhealed memories of something that somebody did where they disobeyed the Lord, where they uncovered the family, where something happened and there is a sense of trouble that entered in. And when trouble enters in, it's really painful. And there's some folks, they just go on with that trouble. Well, so somebody touched somebody and nobody's ever talked about. We always knew something was wrong, or all this kind of stuff goes on. There's a lot of brokenness in our culture today. And later on, this is amazing. Everybody say, Achor means trouble. And valley is a low point. Isn't it? A valley is a low point. So the Valley of Achor is a low point of trouble. And the picture here now is God is coming back and he's prophesying to this very place. He's prophesying to what went wrong. He's saying the very low point of trouble in your life, the Valley of Achor in your life. This is what it says in Hosea 2:15. He says, and there I will give her vineyards. What are vineyards? Vineyards is a fruitfulness, is a new fruitfulness. I want to give you fruitfulness out of this. And he says, I'm going to make the Valley of Achor a door of hope. What was hopeless to you and scarring to you and ripped you off and kept you back, I'm going to cause this to be the very foundation for hope to spill over into your life. You're going to walk through a door and other people are going to get hope because of what you went through. Because I'm going to redeem your lowest point of trouble and I'm going to make it a door of hope. And caused my heart to be released in that situation. And it says, and there shall be an answer as in the days of her youth, as the time when she came out of Egypt. In other words, I want to redeem it back as if it never happened. It's amazing how the Lord heals a memory. Here's a trouble. You can still have the memory and not have the pain anymore. It's amazing. Instead of having that hangover of hopelessness on you and somehow you just never get traction in life because of what happened there. Lord says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to cause it not only to give you traction, I'm going to open it up for points of ministry for other people. Let's go ahead and have those serving communion. Come on and get ready. Hallelujah. As you're getting ready for that, I want us to have an application to this. Let's just praise the Lord. Isn't it good? We're exalting Jesus today because of who He is. He's the one that doesn't leave you in the low place of trouble. He had a low place of trouble, didn't He? He was on the cross. How can you get worse than that? He was put down in the grave. How can you get lower than Jesus? He says, you know why He can make your low point of trouble a place, a door of hope? Because that's what resurrection power does. It comes into where everything is falling apart. And God says, it is not over until I say. We're going to take the very harm and turn it into help. I saw this illustration. By the way, I was just going to say, if you don't know the Lord and you're not walking with the Lord, this is meaningless. It's meaningless. It means nothing. It's just a cracker. If you're a Christian and you're bound, you're determined you're just going to live a life of sin, this is meaningless to you. In fact, I would recommend don't do it because it'll be a curse to you. Just shove it in your pocket. If you're going to live on in your fallenness, don't partake of this. Unless you want to come out of that, then this is your door. It's amazing what happened when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. The perfect illustration. I read this illustration. You know what it's like to take a saw and saw or just break a limb off of a tree? You break the limb off the tree. Now, you and I know, without a life source, it's dead. But it doesn't look dead yet. It still looks alive. Because it's just been sawed off. And that's the state of mankind without Jesus Christ. It's a stick with some green leaves still on it, and it looks like it's alive, but it indeed is dead. It's dead. It's dead. And what's going to happen is you just leave it there long enough and it's dead, dead. It's dead, dead. It's double dead. Not only does it not look alive, it looks dead. Because now the time has passed by and it's dead. There's only one thing you can do. You can graft it back onto the tree. And that's salvation in Jesus Christ. People look alive, but they're dead. They're just sawed off limbs. They can go make a bunch of money, but when it's time, they're going to be double dead. They don't keep any of their money because they go to an eternal fire. They go to a judgment place and they stand before God and says, how come when you heard the gospel, you turned from me? I was too much time making money and trying to, or whatever your thing was. Right? And God says, I convicted you of your sins and you turned from me and you ran away. There are so many that name the name of Jesus and are living like hell. Have no desire to honor the Lord in any degree. How do you beat the level of love that God has given? You can't compare His love to anything in the world. He's already taken all of your sin and put it on His Son and broken the power of it. If you'll turn to Him, He'll give you that power to live your life. It's not a self-help thing. It's come and die and deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Him. And it's what? And life turns out to be better. You know what? My wife loves me more when I'm more like Jesus. She's like, oh yeah, the eyes are rolling up and down. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And I love her when she's more like Jesus. Let's go ahead and lift the bread before the Lord. He's the bread of life. He's the life giver. Whatever has died in you, whatever has been a low point of trouble, whatever has down in there, I'm truly speaking to somebody because this is a prophetic word. The Lord is saying to you, I'm going to turn this trouble place into a doorway of hope right now. You're going to be different when you partake of my resurrection power through my body. I don't know who you are, but you gave up hope a long time ago, and the Lord's saying, you haven't met me yet in this situation. There is hope in Jesus Christ that you can't get anywhere else. Ask Lazarus. He can raise people from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Hopes deferred make the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And the Lord is here to raise up something and to reattach you to the life source. Let's praise Him right now. Just go ahead and praise Him. Say, Lord, just tell the Lord, say, I receive you, and I give my heart to you, and I desire to know you more than anything else. I want to gain Christ Jesus. I want to know you, Lord. I want to attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to live under you all the days of my life. Now let's partake with faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have a question for you as we're passing out the cup. If you went to a doctor and he examined you and he told you that you were in stage 4 cancer and he told you the truth of your condition, would you feel that he was mean? Would you say, you're a mean man for telling me that I have that? Then why is it that when you come to a person of God with your situation, and they say, my dear beloved brother or sister, your troubles are from deep infection of sin in your life. You've opened more doors to hellish works. There's more demon powers holding on to you than you can imagine. But Jesus Christ will deliver you from every one of them. Do you get mad at the pastor? Today we live in a culture where if you say the word sin, you're considered a hater. And Jesus said, you know what? He says, look, they hated me first. And if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Why? Because you bear on your lips and the personality of your life, you bear the marks of God and the power of the gospel to save you out of sin. You know, listen, I used to have a real good taste for sin. There's certain sin that I just liked a lot. But the more I gave myself to it, the more empty I became. It didn't leave me in a good place. And it hollowed me out. And it made me feel like hopeless and like God had abandoned me. Is it right? I know of a man that turned from his wife and went into sin and deep, deep, deep sin in his own mind. And I said, the Lord still loves you. He says, the Lord could never love me. He believed the lie. He believed deception over his soul. I said, no, you don't know. Listen, Jesus saves to the uttermost, and He saves to the guttermost. You can't get low enough. King David said, if you find me down in Sheol, He's there. Let's lift the cup and just praise the Lord, because the Lord says, I want to reconnect you. By the way, they're sins, and they're going to be washed away right now. That's what the blood's about. Every sin is washed away, and your conscience is made clean and pure before God because of the blood. The blood has it takes care of the misdeeds of the soul. It takes care of the bruises in the soul. It takes care of everything in the soul because it's alive. It speaks, and it comes into you, and it comes and speaks to those things and subdues them and takes the power out of them because the blood of Jesus has a life-giving spirit unto eternity. Life. It is the Spirit of the living God acting in the blood and causes you to become an eternal saved soul before God. It's the power that breaks through every sinful thing. And it's all because It's not silver and gold. It says the precious blood of Jesus Christ is what's been given to save us from ourselves. Hallelujah. So we lift the cup, Lord, and we thank you for the power of your forgiveness, and we thank you for the power of your blood. And I ask, Lord, that it permeate every person here. I ask that the heavy loads be lifted off. And if somebody has a bad report about they're just stuck, I pray that you cause them to feel the hope that they never had, that you begin to give them a hope beyond their own ability to call them out of the graveyard. Call them out. Call them out of their chains. Call them out of the shackles. Call them up. Call them forth. In the name of Jesus, let's partake of it together. Praise you, Lord. You know what? Every now and again, you preach something and you just feel better. You know, how many of you feel just a little better than you did when you walked in? You just feel better. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and lift our hearts to the Lord. I'm going to pray. I want to invite you to come, especially in the realm of anything that's been just hopelessly hanging on to your life. If you have something that you just, it's just dogged you and dogged you and dogged you, and you want a prayer for it, come on up. If you have a physical need, if you have an emotional need, if you have a financial need, if you have whatever it is, you say, Lord, I want to come up and I want to receive prayer. Okay, let's lift our heads. Father God, we just praise you that Jesus, you are the answer. You are the answer. You are the answer. We thank you, Father, for all of our blessings in Christ Jesus. We don't forget your benefits. We thank you for your loving kindness. We ask now, Lord, that you'd seal this word and this hope to every heart. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen.